It is Pentecost, and I entitled my message, Go With The Flow. You've heard people say that? Go with the flow. Well, it is Pentecost, and there's a couple scriptures that kind of can relate to my message. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. But I'm going to focus on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, New Living Translation. The subtitle, The Holy Spirit Comes. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. Some translations say tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at the time, and when they heard this sound, they came running to see what it was all about. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were beside themselves with wonder. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in the languages of the lands where we were born. Here we are, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and the province of Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other areas of Libya, towards Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabians. And we all hear these people speaking in their own languages about the wonderful thing God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd were mocking them, and they said, they're drunk, that's all. Well, Peter then preaches to the crowd, verses 14 through 21. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. Some of you are saying these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's much too early for that. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all of my spirits, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. A breathtaking phenomena. I think that's what most people describe the Northern Lights. I never really seen the Northern Lights. We live too far away from them to really appreciate the beautiful colors of the aura that actually is waves of moving light energized by particles from the sun that have bombarded the Earth's atmosphere. Imagine approximately 44 million miles per hour. It's amazing. And when they hit the magnetic field of the Earth, they are pulled toward the pole. Depending on the gases in the atmosphere, they form colorful and wavy lights that shimmer and shine. It is a beautiful phenomena. And these are caused sometimes by solar storms or solar wind. The aura, named by Galileo, in 1619 was really named after a Roman goddess of dawn. Aurora and the Greek god of the north wind. The aurora is indeed made of light and a magnetic movement. Often these experiences in our life that are most beautiful or impacted are also ones in which beauty and joy has risen out of storms. Amen? Like rainbows, the human emotions often peak in the culmination of both tears and light and joy and hope. Do you cry when you're moved and happy? You know the spirit moves within you, get them holy bumps all over you. Do you feel energized and strong after a difficult workout? Do you feel a sense of elation while tackling a challenging assignment? Love stories, you know, like the ones on Hallmark. Do they make you both sad and yet warm in your heart? These kind of peak moments usually result from the kind of intensity of the moment, an immersion, a kind of experience in which you're fully attuned to something which touches you holistically in a powerful way. And just as looking at the aurora, the sight for beautiful eyes and beautiful things that evokes an emotional response of exhilaration and peace and joy and awe, I think we can also have these kind of experiences other times of our lives without looking at the northern lights. When we're especially attuned to something both actively, spiritually, and psychologically, and emotionally. Well, there's been many books written about it. There's been many people that tell about that experience. It is a phenomenon. Sometimes artists, for example, get so lost and immersed in their work that they lose all sight of time and basic needs or things around them, and they get a kind of euphoric engagement with their creative activity and become engrossed fully. Sometimes they feel energized, excited, and fully connected. We call that being in the zone. But you don't have to be an artist to feel that kind of freedom in the present moment. Many people can reach this kind of meditative state in their life, entirely absorbed in an activity or a moment, or hyper-focused on some kind of thing that they're working on, or other kind of ways. When we read, when we dance, when we feel love, when we meditate, when we pray, or when we do activities such as yoga or worship, the state of flow is a holistic, euphoric kind of response that stimulates the inner clarity of our spirit, ecstasy, joy, and it frees us from the worries of daily stress of the day. It plunges us into a timeless kind of state for a while that infuses us with a singularity of purpose, for drive for the mission that we have, and potential for future, the hope, and it leaves us energized, renewed. It relieves us of stress and refreshes us for the day. You see, in a sense, these kind of spiritual awakenings that some have, the spiritual experiences of euphoria that sometimes many people have experienced, and I have myself at one time in my life, the communion with God that may have experienced all of these, and these contain an element of flow. Go with the flow for a brief period, but then as time melts away, and you're perfectly attuned in a moment in which you feel connected, elated, touched in a way that heightens your reactions and your senses and gives you a sense of joy, peace, energy, motivation. I think sometimes people would say this is our reaction when we're touched by the Spirit. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. In the scriptures, we have seen reactions like these when Moses descended from the mountains after communing with God. His face glows. And when disciples viewed Jesus' transfiguration, they were overwhelmed and don't know quite how to react. At Jesus' baptism, his entire head eloped in light. And after the resurrection, the guards literally fall to the ground as the angel of light moves the rock from the tomb. The apostle Paul is thrown off his horse by a voice. Why are you persecuting me? Well, it was a supernatural light and a supernatural voice. Think about the shepherds at the birth of Christ. Jacob's ladder, a burning bush. Mary's visitation by the Holy Spirit, and Pentecost. You see, each time human beings encounter the true presence of the Holy Spirit in a reaction kind of like, ooh, go with the flow, they're touched in a way that changes them, moves them, surprises them, elates them, and causes them to react with joy. And thanks! Euphoric energy! Yay! It is. I mean, it's. I'm making kind of light of it, but it is. When the Spirit touches you and you have these encounters and you just let the flow of the Holy Spirit engulf you and control your life. Not control, that's not what I mean. Good, but control. When your Spirit and God's Spirit connects, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Jesus described it this way. He said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now, that's exactly the way many have described the state of flow, a feeling of flowing freely in a state of total engagement and connection, body, mind, soul. The Holy Spirit is the focus of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit touches us in a way that causes us to erupt in the culmination of a peak human emotion, and we have emotions as humans, one that heals us and energizes us, feeds us and pleases us, one that causes us to become refreshed and confident and ready to take on the world in a new and exciting way. Think of all the times that Jesus touched people and healed them. They not only felt it in the moment, but it changed their lives completely. When the Holy Spirit flows within us, we live a life free of the stressors that bombard us instead of the glow of an eternal kind of light that fires us up and propels us forward. We feel both energy and peace and joy and purpose. That's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost with the disciples. A sound like the rush of a violent wind filled that house where they were all sitting. Tongues of light that looked like fire rested on each of them. And they were filled, infused with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other languages. They lost track of time, a place, of anything, but that experience changed them. You see, when Jesus went home to be with the Father and he said he was going to send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside, our constant companion in this life, if you'll let him in. He don't want to be anywhere that he's not welcome. He will never force himself upon you. But he wants to be a part of your life. Back in the day of Pentecost, everyone in the entire area saw what happened. They saw the strange lights. They heard the murmuring of voices. They saw the phenomena, and they were amazed. This was a human experience, optional. One that the apostles and all who saw it will never forget. Many who study the state of flow, which there is a thing, a flow, tells us that we have ways of reaching this kind of state in which we are open to this kind of experience. And while sometimes we're taken by surprise and simply enveloped in by the touch of something phenomenal, as it was with the Pentecost experience, we can also find ways to reach this state of flow in which we experience spiritual connection to God Almighty. You know, Pentecost is an important time in the life of Christians. It's not a denomination. It's available to all of us. The Spirit of the living God is always moving around us. When we meditate, when we pray, when we worship, when we reverently sing, when we focus on God, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a powerful and redeeming way, we can open ourselves up to this experience, this kind of true connection with God that many in the past and the present have experienced. So that day of Pentecost, long, long, long ago, came after the disciples had spent weeks on end praying without ceasing. Jesus had told them to do so. And the old saying said, well, you know, we got to stay often in the temple. We got to be in these rooms. But they had seen the risen Christ, and they had experienced the miracle of the resurrection. Now they prayed for change. They were primed, ready for the Spirit's flow. Flow is kind of a connective experience, and it allows us to get outside of our limited world for a moment and connect with God in a raw and true kind of way. But when you allow the Spirit of the living God to touch your heart, be ready for the change that will ensue. For no one comes out of a Pentecostal experience without being changed. So today, as I close this message, and think about what the Spirit, have a relationship with God through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I invite all of us to cultivate a condition, a prayer, a meditation, an openness to the Spirit's touch. Praying church. Bethel is a great praying church. We have prayer warriors in this little church that is beyond measure. And a praying church is a church guided by the Spirit. Now, we don't run around speaking in tongues and doing all that kind of stuff, although that's a gift available to everybody. But we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and we are guided by the Holy Spirit. A church of that kind, like Bethel, is a life guided by the Spirit that will make an impact, not only in the world, but in our little community. Well, I hope and pray that you take a little bit of time to understand Pentecost and what it means to have the Spirit of the living God. That relationship. Yeah, we invite Christ into our life. And, you know, things change when that happens. And then the Spirit gives us all kinds of wonderful information. He'll minister to us. He'll keep us out of trouble. You know, sometimes we confuse it with our conscience, but the Spirit will keep you out of trouble. The Spirit will give you joy and love and peace, the peace that passes all understanding. That's what Jesus promised, and He accomplished it by sending the Holy Spirit to all who believe. Well, we're grateful that you tuned into this online service, and I don't know, sometimes I get all wound up, and sometimes I maybe get a little confusing or something like that. But I invite you, if there's anything that you would like to talk about your faith relationship with Christ, I'm not an expert, but I had experienced this thing called the Holy Spirit touching me. I'd love to share it with you, or any other questions you might have about your faith journey. We're here. God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.